Today's a great day when we can celebrate as a church what God has done in our lives through the Annie Armstrong offering. You know, the amazing thing is, most of the time whenever the goal is met, everybody just kind of goes, phew, met that goal, and they go on. But the great thing is, the church kept giving. Even after the goal was met, the church continued to give. Isn't God great? God is just so good. God is good to give us talent, as He did with Jade this morning, and she has blessed us tremendously. This morning we're going to continue in the series on the prayer of Jabez. As we look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we know that many times the historian was simply giving us a record of chronology as to who was born and whose father was this person's father, and so-and-so had so-and-so, and so-and-so had so-and-so. And when he gets to Jabez, it's very interesting that he blocks out two verses and shares with us some very important things about Jabez. Now, Jabez was not a great man. He truly wasn't. But Jabez prayed a great prayer. And it was so great that the God of this universe inspired the historian that as he was going through the chronological births of the children of Israel, that he would dedicate two verses to this person by the name of Jabez. Jabez was just an ordinary man that had truly touched the face of God. And that's why God thought it was so great that the historian ought to share with all of the world that is there and all the world that would come that this kind of a prayer is the type of prayer that God truly answers. Jabez asked God, "Bless me. Bless me abundantly above all measure." And then he asked God to expand his territories because he looked out and he saw what was being divided to him. And he said, "God, certainly you created me for more than this small piece. God, let me do more for you." And so he prayed that God would expand his territories. And then he prayed this portion of the prayer. Please turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word as we begin in verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bear him with sorrow.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.' And God granted him that which he requested." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you raise men up, that you raise women up, that we can pattern our lives after, that we can see how you use them in a great way, and Father, how you were glorified through their lives. We pray, Father, today that each person here would just get a glimpse of how great you are so that they will truly expect a touch of greatness in their lives. And Father, we pray that we might get a hold of this today and that we might truly consume this, that you would hear us as we pray, and Father, that you would be blessed, Father, in our lives as we go and serve you. Father, we pray for your anointing today, that you would literally hide me behind the cross at Calvary. And Father, that everyone would see how great Jabez truly was. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. He was an ordinary man who prayed a great prayer. God, bless me, and bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. And God, whatever you do, keep your hand on me. He was asking God for a touch of greatness. He said, I am not satisfied with the status quo. I am not satisfied with the standard operating procedure. I am not satisfied to simply live my life and then, as I die and am buried, to be forgotten. God, I want you to bless me abundantly. I want you to enlarge my coast so that I can do even greater things for you. And God, whatever you do, keep your hand on me. See, I believe the first thing that God wants us to see is the descending to power. That we need to literally descend to power. And that may sound strange that we need to descend to power, but that's truly what God desires. First of all, we need to see that we all come to this point in our lives. We all come to this one point many times as God has blessed us, when He has given us additional responsibilities that we had to rely upon Him in order to be successful. Many times when we get to this point, we stumble and fall at the overwhelming circumstance that we find ourselves in. We stumble and fall because we've never been here before. We've never done this way before. We've never seen anything to this magnitude, God. You have blessed us, you've expanded our territories, and now we are struggling and falling at the difficulty of the circumstances. When I first started pastoring in Missouri, pastored a little country church that was 8 miles out of town on a highway called Bethany Baptist Church. The first year, God blessed us tremendously, and the second year and the third year, and we had been pace setters in baptisms for churches our size for 3 years in a row. And the director of missions, his name was Dr. T.O. Spicer from Joplin, Missouri. And he was the one that gave me the tremendous advice when I surrendered to preach and gave up my job, and then I went to him and said, Dr. Spicer, I've surrendered to preach. And he says, let me give you the first good advice that you'll receive. He says, don't quit your day job. Sorry, I already did that. He goes, oh no. Is there any way you can get it back? And I said, no, don't want it back. He goes, oh. He says, I've seen so many of these things happen. He says, a guy gets consumed by God and surrenders to preach and quits his job, and then pretty soon they're pushing a broom down at the local hardware store. He says, I don't want that to happen to you. I said, well, then you need to get me in the pulpit every Sunday. And I smiled at him. The amazing thing was, God had taken me to Bethany and had blessed the church, and Dr. Spicer had come to me and he says, we want you to be the keynote speaker at the pastor's conference this year for the Missouri Baptist Convention. He's like, no, I don't think I can do that. He said, good. He says, you're halfway there already. He said, that's what God truly wants, is for you to recognize that you can't do it. Because when you try to do it in your own strength, you're only going to get that which you can humanly accomplish. He said, God doesn't want that. And I said, Dr. Spicer, there is no way that I, a man that's only been saved for a period of about 3 years now and been pastoring for 3 years, Actually, it's 6 years and pastoring for three. I said that wrong, sorry. Anyway, I said, there's just no way that I can truly say anything that's going to be challenging to men that have been pastoring longer than I've been alive. He says, you can't say anything that's going to challenge them, but God can. See, when we descend to power, we are literally saying, listen, God, I can't do this. You're going to have to do it. There's no way I can accomplish this. It's too big. That's what God desires, and we get to that point many times in our lives at home, or in our lives at work, or in our lives serving the local church. We get to that point where God has blessed us, where God has given us a tremendous responsibility, and then all of a sudden we realize that we're not equipped, we're not trained. There's no way we can possibly do that, and pretty soon we start saying, no, no, I can't do that, no, I can't do that. God wants us to be at that place so that He can work through us to accomplish His purpose. I was amazed at what God did in that pastor's conference. I was following men that had been pastors for longer than I'd been alive, and they had such meaningful messages. But when I took the platform that night, the notes that I had prepared went right out the window. And God did some things in my life that night that I will never forget. He did things in the life of those men that were serving Him and had been serving Him for longer than I'd been alive. God touched their hearts in a way that I never could. And I saw God move, not only in my life, but in their lives as well. That's what I pray God does in this church. That we might truly see God do something that is God-sized. Not that we can do anything, but that He can do it through us. And that we can stand there amazed at how great He is. And how great He can use us. See, it's all about Him. It's not about us. That's what God's plan is for all of us. When we realize that our insufficiency, when we realize that we don't have the experience, when we realize that we don't have the ability, then God is able to move mightily. And you're able to see things that only God can do. When we get to the edge, to that edge, when we get to that edge, many times we start backing away from it because of fear. Because if God doesn't do something, we're going to look like a fool. And no one wants to look like a fool. See, I was fearing taking that stage and saying things that had no meaning to those men. I was fearing being a fool. But because Dr. Spicer saw something in me, he said, it's not about you, Craig, it's about God. That's why I've asked you to do this. See, when Moses was there at the burning bush and God said, take your shoes off because the place where you are standing is holy ground. When Moses was there and God said, I'm going to send you to Egypt and you're going to free the children of Israel. Well, that was all well and good. And Moses said, well, I can't do that because I don't speak well. And he says, fine, I'll send Aaron with you. And so that's all well and good to see all the miracles, all the plagues, all of those great things. You know, Moses had been out in the desert. He had been leading some sheep. And now God wanted him to lead His children. the children of Israel. The amazing thing is, after God did the marvelous miracles, after God did the Passover, and after Pharaoh said, fine, go ahead and take them. I don't want them anymore. All they are problems. They're just problems in my life. Go ahead and take them. And now, literally, millions of individuals were relying upon Moses. And Pharaoh had a change of heart. He says, I want to run them down. I want to kill every one of those Israelites. I want them to die in the desert following Moses. And then Moses gets to the edge of the Red Sea. God had blessed him. Get a picture now. God had blessed him. God had enlarged his coastline, his territory. And Moses gets to the edge of the Red Sea. Let me tell you something. When he said, see that, like Cecil Meade DeMille said, see the mighty hand of God, and he puts his rod down in the waters part. When he put the rod down, if the waters didn't part, the children of Israel would have thought Moses was a fool. Do you agree? Yeah. That's a very foolish thing. To think that we can walk across a sea on dry ground? Really? Really? You must be a fool. Let me tell you something. When Joshua came up against his enemy there at Jericho, and God said, this is what I want you to do, Joshua. I want you to march around the city once for 6 days. I want you to do that now for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want you to do this. I want you to march around the city 7 times. And when I say shout, you shout, and the walls will come falling down. Right. Yeah, really? Really? Are you kidding me? If we do that and you don't do what you say you're going to do, we'll look like fools. Amen? How silly is it to walk around the city 7 times and then shout and expect the walls to fall down? Let me tell you something. These weren't walls like the walls we know. These were not cinder block walls that were only 8 inches thick where they could fall over. No, 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 no. The base of the wall was 60 foot thick. 60 feet. The top of the wall was like 20 feet thick. It was huge. It doesn't just fall over. If God didn't do a God-sized thing, they'd look like fools. And see, that's where God wants all of us. God's plan is for all of us to be right there so that He has blessed us. He has expanded our territories. He has brought us right up to the edge. And we realize we can't do it. That's where God steps in. When we trust Him by faith. God wants all of us right there. Because when we follow God's plan, we release God's power. Sorry, I couldn't leave the space on your little bulletin very big. I mean, you're going to have to write real small on that one. Sorry. When we follow God's plan, we release God's power. Jabez wanted a touch of greatness. Years ago, we went to a family reunion. Kathy and I and the kids went to a family reunion. And all the kids were out playing in the park, and they had the little jungle gym, and they had the little bitty slide where the kids would slide down partway, and they'd kind of get stuck because the slide wasn't very tall. It wasn't very slippery. It didn't have a very big slope, and so they'd have to kind of scoot on the way down the slide. You know, and then they'd run back around and do it again, kind of scoot down on their hinies, you know. Well, Nick and Nate and Danielle had been doing this, and all of a sudden Nick kind of went, huh? And he sees this huge slide way over there on that side of the park. And he goes, Nathan, look at that. And Nathan's going, huh? And he looks at it. Oh boy. And the two boys take off, and here's Danielle coming behind her. You know, and he's running there, she's running behind the two boys, and Nick gets up there and he slides down. This is one of those galvanized slides that the slide is stainless steel. And I want you to know, when you go down off of that, you really go. And so Nick went off the slide and Nate went off the slide, and pretty soon Danielle's up there. She's crawling up 20 some feet, you know, and she gets up there and she sits down and she's, Daddy! Daddy! It's like, it's all right, go ahead, slide right on down. I'll come down here and catch you. No, I'm afraid. Just slide down. It's not hard. Just let go. I don't want to, Daddy. I'm afraid. All right. So I climb up the slide, and I pick her up, and I sit down and put her on my lap. I said, are you ready to go now? She's smiling at me. It's like I let go and shoo, down the slide we went. She was so happy. Why? Because her daddy took the time to go up the slide and slide down with her. Then I sent her back up there again. She's still afraid. Oh, it means I got to go back up. And so I go back up again. I climb the steps. She sits on my lap. Down we go again. Pretty soon it becomes so routine. And I say, okay, now I'm just going to be right here. And I'm behind her, and I'm going to let her go by herself. Nick, catch her. Don't let her do a face plant. He's laughing at her. No, it's not funny. So I said, you know what you can do? You can just kind of hang on to the sides right here. And I can let you go down partway, and Nathan's going to have his hand right there so you can go right on down. And she did that. She was so happy because she was a big girl. Went down the big slide. Pretty soon you couldn't keep her off of the slide. Why? Because Daddy had given her the confidence. When she looked up and she said, Daddy, I can't do this. It's like, you're all right. You're in my arms. I've slid down thousands of slides, and I've never had a face plant yet. A touch of greatness. That's what God is wanting from us, for us to descend to power, because when we realize our insufficiency, our inability, when we realize that we can't do it, then we are at the place that God wants us to be so that He can do that great thing through us. Secondly, it's by His hand and by His Spirit. It's by His hand, not ours. It's not our ability that He's wanting. Remember last week when we use our math, we're looking at our experience, our personality, our ability, our past. We're looking at all the things we have learned in life. But when we look at God's math, it simply takes our willingness and His supernatural power. That's what He's looking for. When we ask, Father, please do this in me, because I can't do it alone. We're asking God for a miracle. When we step out of the way, God is able to step in. When we take our hand off of it, then He's able to put His hand on it. Many times, God is there ready to help us, but we still got such a grip on it that we won't let go because of our fear, our inability, our insufficiency. We are wanting to control it. And if we simply take our hands off, He can put His hands on. And when that happens, we're able to see God do God-sized things. That's God's power within us. When I stood in front of those pastors and their wives to preach, I had my plan formulated. I had gone through my plan with God several times. I was convinced this is what God wants. The problem with that is, many times, God wants us to simply trust Him by faith. And that's not something that you can prepare for sometimes. Sometimes that takes you by surprise. When you are all ready to say this and to do this, and when you get there, it just goes cold. God is saying, hey, put that aside and trust me. Just like Danielle, at the top of the slide, she's still afraid, but when I put her in my lap, she's no longer afraid. Why? Because her father's arms are around her. She's experienced her father's arms around her before. She has experienced the love of her father embracing her before. There have been times that she was so sick that she was upchucking, and Kathy would comfort and hold, and I would comfort and hold. There is something that happens between a child and a parent when there's difficulty in that child's life. And that parent simply embraces that child and holds that child because that's all they can do. We had been there with her before. So when I climbed the ladder and put her on my lap, that was something that was very familiar to her. It wasn't something she planned on, but it was familiar to her so that she knew she could trust me. That's what God is wanting from us. He's wanting us to be so familiar with Him that when He blesses us, when He enlarges our responsibilities and we get up to that edge and we realize we can't go any further, that we will trust Him to do something in our lives that is God-sized because of the things we've learned previously. God wants us to experience Him in new and fresh ways that we've never known before. The tragedy in most Christians' life is this. When we get up to the edge, many times, because this is foreign to us, we start to say, whoops, maybe I shouldn't have made that decision. Whoops, this is bigger than me. And what happens in most Christians' lives is we retreat from that position because we don't trust God. I'm going to say that again, because we don't trust God. Not intentionally do we do that. It's not that we say, God, we know You want us to do this, but we don't trust You, and we back up. No, we start backing up because of fear. And the reason why we don't trust Him is because we don't spend time with Him. And we haven't gotten to know Him as He desires us to know Him. That's why when we get to that no man's land, when we get to that edge of the cliff, and He says, jump, are you going to jump? Are you going to trust Him to hold you up? See, that was the temptation that the devil put before Jesus. But of course, that was under a different circumstance. That wasn't something that God was calling Jesus to do. That was something that Satan was tempting Jesus to do. When God has blessed us and He's brought us up to that edge, He wants us to trust Him. And the only way we can is if we truly know Him and have experienced Him in the past, in our lives. That's why it's by His hand and His Spirit. It's not by us. Lastly, we need the Father's touch. The Father's touch. When we look at the early church, we see that the early church had the Father's touch. They had the touch of greatness. They were used by Him in a tremendous way. He had infilled them with His Spirit. They spoke with boldness. Thousands of people were coming to Him and were receiving Christ as their personal Savior. The early church was exploding with new Christians. Every place they were going, the early church was able to speak, and because of God's touch, they saw the results of things that only God could do. When I read the book initially, The Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson, I don't know where my copy is. I think it's at home somewhere, in my study at home, or else it's still packed away. Don't know. I've been looking for it and still haven't found it. Anyway, Bruce Wilkinson shared a story, and it is stuck in my heart, about 12 teens and a disappearing egg. Somehow, some way, these teens had gotten a little bit of a routine put together, and they had eggs, and there was a disappearing egg. It was a sleight of hand thing. It was a little fun thing for kids. And they were going to do backyard Bible clubs in the morning. They were going to do beach evangelism in the afternoons, and in the evenings they were going to work with the local churches. And these 12 teens that had the disappearing egg, they were trusting God for, maybe 30 people. And what they didn't realize when they started doing the backyard Bible club, they had over 100 when they were doing the beach evangelism because of the interest in the disappearing egg. They had over 250. And all in all, in about a week and a half, they had 1,200 conversions. They went back to their church and had shared what God had done in their lives and through them. And the church was so excited and ignited with excitement that they started to experience revival. That is what led us to take our youth from First Baptist Church, Appleton City, to Moreno Valley, California. We had illuminating those, you know, those bright yellowish green type of shirts that, I mean, you can pick them out anywhere. Well, we had First Baptist Church, Appleton City, and then we had Missouri, and we had California, and we had a line drawn, you know, for our trek, and it was on the back, and everybody had signed it, and we had shirts all printed up, and it was so neat. Anyway, we went there, and we did the same type of ministry. God blessed us tremendously and blessed our youth group because that's what God desires in each and every one of our lives. There were things that they experienced that they had never, ever experienced before. And it was simply because they were willing to trust God. Now, last Sunday night I talked about what would we do if we had 500 in VBS or 1,000. Right afterwards, Christy said, "What do you want me to do for Krauss?" Which is very good. I mean, we need to plan for that. But we still need to be good stewards. But you know, if we simply trusted God and said, you know, this is what we're going to plan, but we need to have a plan B and a plan C. So if this happens, we can revert back to something and have kind of a safety switch. It's amazing to watch God work in a group of individuals that are simply trusting God with the next step. It's amazing. Because when we truly ask Him for His help, we are simply one plea away. Hear me. One plea away from His touch of greatness. And that's what He's wanting in each of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. We thank You that You give us examples in Your Word. Father, as Jabez would pray this prayer, Father, we thank You for that. We thank You, Father, that You have blessed this church beyond measure with talent and abilities. But Father, more than that, You've blessed us with Your presence. And so, Father, we ask today that You will continue to bless us with Your presence and that You will have Your hand upon us. And we thank You and we praise You, Father, for what You're going to do in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.